We read in our text, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter clearly and boldly spoke the word of God. We remember just a few weeks or months before, Peter had denied his Lord, but now he boldly confesses the name of Jesus. He doesn't shy away from the truth to get himself off the hook. He doesn't tone down the gospel message to avoid offending his judges. He could have tried to please the court. After all, he was on trial before the very men who had put Jesus to death. But rather, he tells them very clearly, it is by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. What is it that the church needs in our day more than anything else? We really don't need new tricks or gimmicks. Neither liturgical renewal nor the latest church growth insights will truly solve the church's ills or evangelize the lost. God's word, boldly proclaimed, is what has the power to shake us out of our worldliness and turn the hearts of the lost to Christ. Peter and John impressed the leaders of the Sanhedrin. Verse 13 goes on to say that when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What do we need in our day, where people are so entranced with the things of this world that they have no appetite for the word of life? We need to speak God's word with boldness. When the apostles were released and returned to the church, the book of Acts records that they all prayed together. The early church had a very good sense of priorities. They didn't pray, at least it's not recorded, perhaps they did pray for protection, but the primary point of their prayer was to pray for the proclamation of the word. The evangelist records their prayer, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." And the word records that the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The gospel is dunamis. It is power. Though the places we meet may not be shaken, like in the book of Acts, the word of God still has the power to shake us to the roots of our being. And God grant that it be so among us and among those to whom we speak. Satan and the world don't care so much if we preach the word, so long as we muffle it up so that it doesn't ring out loud and clear. Sometimes we cover God's word in layers of theological verbiage so that the common man cannot understand or relate to what we are saying. Sometimes we proclaim God's word in such a way that we won't offend anyone or rock anyone's boat. Sometimes we keep God's word inside our churches where unbelievers can't hear it. Or we squander the chances that God gives us to speak to our neighbors of Christ because of our timidity. That is not what the believers did in the book of Acts. When they were persecuted, they were scattered, but they preached the word wherever they went. We can preach God's word in a diffident, uncertain way, as if it were merely inert information which the hearer can either take or leave. We could perhaps even justify this theologically by saying, well, it is up to the Holy Spirit to convert the heart after all. But we read in the book of Acts that that is not how the Apostle Paul preached the word. Scripture tells us that Paul reasoned with the people from the Scriptures. He sought to win their hearts, and he did not hold back in the time and effort he gave to this. For example, we read that Paul in Ephesus entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Or in the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul writes, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. We are to preach faith into the hearts of our hearers, to tell them of God's grace winsomely and insistently until the Holy Spirit overcomes their unbelief and convinces them first of their sin and then of the complete and full salvation that Christ has won for them." The Word of God cuts like a knife. It says things that are hard to hear. Peter boldly declared to the Sanhedrin, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." In our pluralist world, where tolerance is proclaimed as the highest virtue, people will say, "How can you be so narrow-minded? How can you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven? Look at all the people who practice other religions. They are so sincere. How can you say that they are lost?" Maybe we even find ourselves wondering and thinking sometimes that God isn't fair when His Word says that Jesus is the only way of salvation. We find ourselves in the seat of a judge, wanting to put God on trial and question His ways. When we find ourselves with thoughts like these, we do well to put ourselves on trial rather than God. We may be saying, "How can God send decent people like me to hell just because they don't believe in Jesus?" Do we believe what God's Word teaches about our own sinful condition? Do we recognize that we were lost and condemned creatures without hope, enemies of God, until Jesus came for us? There are no decent people. But there is a God who loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that is the message we have to proclaim. That is the message that all of God's people have, to speak to their families, to their children, to the sick and the dying, to those who are in prison, and even to our enemies. The name of Jesus is what we can hold on to in life and in death. He is the stone the builders rejected, as many in our day also reject Him, but He has become the cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. In the confidence and by the power of the Holy Spirit, this is the message we have to bring to all people. These 3 years that you are in seminary, spend them with Jesus, as Peter and John did, and go and speak His word with boldness to our confused and desperate world. In the name of Jesus, amen.